Certain things, initially some of the things which are deeply held assumptions, beliefs, these are taken for granted, they are invisible, they are at pre-conscious level. This will lead to greater level of awareness in the formulation of values, espoused values, and this will be enacted, reflected in the visible way, which may not be often decipherable why a person behaves in this particular way. But it is the subconscious thing which is there based on these assumptions and values. So how employee learn culture and how it is going to be reinforced? One is, there are certain stories which are there which go from one generation to the other in the organization. How the organization was formed, probably that is being told in every orientation program, induction program by the HR people. What were their values? How they went ahead? What was the behavior of these top management as well as the senior leaders in case of certain difficulties that have come across for the organization? How they overcame these things? What happens when certain things like this happens overall, usually in this organization, based on various departments' experiences? And that's how the stories go, perpetuate the organization culture. There are certain rituals which are going to be followed in all their meetings, in all their public announcements, whenever they are representing the company to the outside world. So certain rituals are followed, like say every year they are having a Satyanarayan Puja for the department, they are having Dashara Puja, some of them are having Diwali celebration, some of them are having the retired people are going to be accumulated in a particular hall and they will be told about their way in which they have conducted themselves during their tenure, and they are going to be appreciated for the services they have given. They will be given a certain shawl, srifal, etc. While some of the organizations, they are having every 5 years, the person who has completed 5 years in that organization is being appreciated by giving them various gifts, by flower bouquet, and maybe some of the other snacks, etc. are organized for the group who is there for this kind of ritual. So these rituals are going to have similarities all over the organization, and this will tell us how the organization works, what is valued in this organization, and these rituals will perpetuate the organization culture. There are going to be certain material symbols for the organization, like logos are there. Certain things are always there in their emails that they send to the outside world, which tells that this is coming from this particular organization. The way the answers are given, the certain gifts that are given during, say, Diwali gifts, etc., to the outside vendors or to the people within, there are going to be certain material symbols associated with that, which also will perpetuate the organizational culture. Then there are certain way in which people are telling the message to others, how people, as far as the peers are concerned, or as far as the subordinates are concerned, or as far as the superiors are concerned, how they are addressed whenever they are talked to. For example, in IT companies at times, especially in US and all, we have seen that the subordinate can tell the superior's first name and call him, rather than dear sir and things like that. They don't tell sir, etc., to their superiors also. So the language will tell us what's the organizational culture of these people. While in India, usually we are highly reverent to our superiors and we usually address them with sir and all. So this is how the employees learn culture of the organization, and it is being reinforced by various narration of the stories, rituals, material symbols, and the language we use. etc. So let's understand a little bit more in detail about these things. There are certain types of artifacts like personal enactment, how a person behaves, and whenever he becomes a superior, what is expected out of him of his behavior. There are going to be certain ceremonies and rites to be followed by all the people in the organization, like say Dasara Puja, or in some they may be celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi and all that. Then at the time of funeral, whether all the people from the department go for that, what are the things that are given to the family, all those rites are there, and the way people are going to behave towards others in case of any problem. Suppose a person gets cancer, whether everybody of the company will donate a part of their salary towards the treatment of that person, what are the things that are being given by the company in the form of insurance, up to what limit they are giving, all those things are clear cut. Then there are stories about the boss, how the boss has achieved this position, whether by his merit, professional qualifications, extra effort in marketing the company's goals, or whether by politics he has come. There are certain stories about getting fired in this company, whether this is the type of behavior when you are having regarding certain discipline, you'll be fired. Or if this is the way you are going to behave in front of an autocratic boss, that his ego is hurt, you may be fired. So these are the various stories going on in various companies based on the type of behavior those top people are having. And earlier, how people got fired, these things will perpetuate. After relocating, what will be the things that will be given to you, whether the extra perks will be given, whether you'll be given accommodation, whether your children's schools will be guaranteed, etc. So these are the things which stories will tell us, that these are what are going to be there for the employees if they are relocated from one location to the other. Regarding promotions also, people know that whether it is purely merit based or seniority based or a mixed base, or there is a lot of subjectivity in that. About crisis situation, how the people are supposed to behave, earlier how they have behaved in the organization, whether there was an earthquake or a fire or some other crisis in the form of severe recession, and how many people were removed at that time, and what were the criteria for that, for downsizing, etc. So how the organization behaves in cases of crisis, also these stories will perpetuate overall the organizational culture. And how people's status is important in this organization, what are the special perks they are going to get, what are the special precautions one has to take when you are addressing those people, what you expect from them if you are going to tell them certain problems, all these status considerations are also flowing in the organization as stories from one person to other. And there are certain rituals and symbols for the organization will tell us about how the organization overall behaves, and this will make the employees behave accordingly. So let's understand what are the various types of cultures in various organizations. There can be constructive kind of culture where the top people are going to value all the members. There are quite a few number of people who are self-actualized, they have achieved their highest potential, they are highly creative. There are some people who are going to affiliate with all in very friendly manner, and they are going to be humanistic, and they encourage normative beliefs about all, and one can understand what is the expected behavior or conduct of the subordinates or the superiors towards the subordinates, and how each is going to be highly collaborative, coherent, and team building will be better in this kind of constructive kind of culture. Then there are some organizations where they are passive defensive. That means here there will be approval needed for everything. The traditional and bureaucratic kind of organizations may be there, where lot of rigid rules will be there. There won't be any differentiation of discrimination made purely merit based, impersonal and highly dependent, usually non-participative. They are going to be punished for mistakes to a great extent, but if somebody is successful, probably it may not be rewarded to that extent and one may ignore the success of that person. So they are more of passive defensive. Then there are aggressive defensive, where there is going to be lot of confrontation and negativism are going to be rewarded. So they are highly task oriented. If a person is not going to give the task, he may be highly punished or he may be removed from the organization also. Usually the decisions are taken which is non-participative. Only the top people are going to take decision, and there is lot of positional power given to the people. So legitimate power is of the highest order in this kind of aggressive defensive kind of culture in the organization. Winning is highly valued. Competitiveness is always rewarded, and people want that employees should be highly perfectionist in their work. So it is expected that everybody will be highly punctual. No way a person can come even 5 minutes late. Whatever work has been allotted, that person will be doing the work to the highest quality within the time frame that has been given, and no excuses will be taken for even any eventuality that has led to this kind of problem in the employee. So how you are going to manage the cultural change? Because the culture cannot remain same in this competitive scenario of the world. Today, because of the globalization, there is lot of competition in the world among all the organizations. One cannot be complacent with what they are having. Today, if you are having 30% profit more than last year, it doesn't mean that it will remain same or it will be higher next year. It may turn out that you may not be at all profitable next year because of the substitutes that have come, which are much easier to get and they are highly cost effective, and at low cost they are available. Technology is changing day by day. It may happen that the technology you are using in your organization becomes totally obsolete, and whatever your products are there, they are just not sold. So high inventory cost will be there for you, and it will be difficult for you to sell your products, and this will lead to a major problem and a crisis for your organization. So one has to be consistent with the modern requirements of the flexibility, multi-skilling, learning, acquiring newer knowledge and skills, and be in touch with the world, what is required by the customers in the present scenario. So one has to match the strategy of the organization based on these changing world requirement, and accordingly one has to even make a cultural change in the organization. One should focus on a few critical shifts in behavior of people. Maybe suppose for flexibility, for multi-skilling, for various aspects, if we need 10 types of changes in the culture in our organization, one should critically see what are most important thing which is highly beneficial to the company's survival and growth. In that case, one has to focus on these few critical shifts in the behavior of your employees and see to it that at least those are achieved at the earliest. The remaining minor things may be achieved later, it is okay. Honor the strength of your existing culture. You cannot totally disregard your existing culture and say that all this what we have been doing over the period of years is humbug. We should start to reform totally whatever we have been doing. It cannot occur. So one has to first honor whatever is the strength in your existing culture. There are going to be certain positive aspects in your existing culture which also may be helpful in your future requirement of the change also. So one has to honor that and continue using those aspects of the existing culture. One has to integrate formal as well as informal interventions required for changing the culture. There are certain formal requirements which will be coming from the top management and senior management to the lower management in the form of rules and regulations, formulations, the code of conduct, the behavior required within and outside whenever they are representing the organization, etc. And there are certain informal interventions also needed, which will be in the form of grapevine, which will be in the form of overall certain things required in certain departments only. And one has to measure as well as monitor this cultural evolution which is going to occur in your organization to match with the requirement for the sustainability of your organization in the changing environment scenario. Whatever is measured only can be known exactly what is required to be done for future. And so measurement is essential. Just intangible things that overall this is happening is not enough. One has to take the surveys and identify the change that is required to be done and achieve the results accordingly, and then monitor this cultural evolution so that as per our expectation, whether there is a change in behavior of people, cultural behavior of people or not. So let's understand about the importance of ethical organization culture. As we know in today's world, what's happening because of the materialistic way people are behaving, more and more acquiring the materialistic things in their life, spiritual aspect is taking back seat. People's thinking in the form of higher thinking, in the form of the selfless, desireless work for the God or for the organization per se is going down, and hence usually people are trying to achieve maximum without considering what are the means they are using for that. So one has to establish the ethical code of conduct. So whatever is right, whatever is just and whatever is fair only should be done, and the means are more important than ends. One has to remember that. Whatever risks are going to be there for the employees in this kind of behavior, ethical behavior, to carry the organization forward on a long term basis, rather than initially they may have better profits but later they will be entangled in various legalities, legal problems, and the image of this organization in the society will be so much marred that customers are not going to come forward to buy any of the products and services of this organization. So this kind of unethical practices are going to be the major setback for this organization otherwise, and hence one should develop ethical organization culture. For that, these are some of the features. One is, one should be highly motivated to work for this organization, and whatever risks are there, that also they should be able to tolerate them well. They have to see to it that they are always having positive mental attitude and hope for the best, and use the highly ethical means of achieving their results. There should be low to moderate aggressiveness so that they remain enthusiastic and assertive for their requirements to be fulfilled, to achieve the organization goals. They should be focused on means as well as outcomes. As I told you, by hook or crook, you want to achieve this, that should not be the mantra or motto for you. You should be focused on your outcomes, no doubt about that, but you should be also focused on what are the means you are going to take to reach those outcomes, to achieve those outcomes. So these means also should be highly ethical. So what are the strategies you are going to follow to have the ethical organization culture? One is, one should have a role model. That means the top people and the senior people also should be showing in their behavior high ethicality. So always the employees are looking at their supervisors and superiors, how they are going to behave in various situations. If they remain ethical, then only the lower employees will follow this suit and they will remain ethical. One should have a clear communication about what is the code of conduct, ethical code of conduct, who are the people whom you can approach in case of a dilemma, so that you can solve the dilemma ethically. So crystal clear communication should be there. There should be a whistleblower's policy also, so that nobody is afraid to come out with something wrong going on in the organization openly, and they should be protected. One should encourage learning in ethical standards by all means. What is morality? What is ethics? What is legal aspect? What is the environment? All those things a person has to learn, know, have the proper balance among all these, and ultimately see to it that one should use in their behavior only ethical standards to be followed. Reward ethical actions. So those employees who are using ethical standards in their behavior, they should be positively reinforced in the form of appreciating them in public, rewarding them adequately, so that people perpetuate this kind of ethical behavior in future also. At the same time, one should reprimand any unethical actions taken by employees, so that they are publicly told that this is something wrong you are doing, and because of this, either you are demoted or removed from this organization based on the severity of their actions. And this will give a lesson to the remaining people that this kind of unethical actions or behavior is not going to be tolerated in this organization at any cost, so that everybody goes towards ethicality in future also. And one has to set certain protective mechanisms in the form of ombudsman, to whom any person can approach who is impartial, who is having a high stature in the organization. Because of the status, the top management also cannot touch him for achieving their own personal gains, and they are going to guide the lower people towards proper ethicality. Similarly, ethical officers can be there, and regular teaching, training of these people in ethical aspect of their behavior should be reinforced frequently, and they should be appreciated for the training they have undergone. So what is a positive organizational culture? One is, the organizational culture should be such whereby employees are empowered from within. They become more autonomous, lot of delegation can occur, and there should be effective communication. A supportive communication should be there from the senior managers to their subordinates, in the form of clearly, specifically telling certain aspects, whatever is needed by these employees. If they make a mistake, they should be told about what exactly they have done. Rather than blaming them as a person, it should be issue based, and it should be told exactly at what time what was done by that employee, which has adversely affected the person himself, the superior, and the organization as a whole, with proper feelings, so that a person gets the message clearly, and reinforcement is done by how to improve this behavior by the superior, by exactly telling him what he should do in future in such circumstances. So it should be issue based, not person based. It should be absolutely specific rather than a generalized thing. It should be measurable in the form of exactly what is expected to be done, and it should clearly communicate a person how he should behave in future, what exactly he should have done. It should be open, honest, and flowing communication, so that there is no bias against anybody while showing the mistakes. Also, it should be mainly a fact finding rather than criticizing anybody, and it should be a flowing communication, so that a person can easily take this communication in a positive way and change the behavior as needed. There should be long-term quality service and excellence which should be expected out of the employees. That quality should be right first time, every time, and there should not be anything which should come back because of the defects, and the organization should achieve excellence. So Six Sigma, where it is 3.4 mistakes or defects per 10 million kind of products one can expect, that kind of excellence in service should be there. One should be individually responsible if he has taken some mistake, done some mistake. There should be internal locus of control rather than blaming the environment, so that he can improve upon himself. One should embrace new ideas. So innovation should be the mantra for the organization, whereby people should be encouraged to put forward new ideas. Some of them may look absurd, but one should put forward, one should be appreciated for that, and of course thought over to find out the feasibility of implementing those ideas. One should be very flexible as per the requirement, fluid and rapidly responsive organization. So that if you are your organization is highly customer specific, whatever is required by the customer, you can give them rather than based on your rigid rules and bureaucratic procedures to be followed in giving a product or service in particular way. To delight the customer, you should be highly flexible if required. One should be fluid and one should respond to the customer at the earliest, and it should be inculcated in all the employees, so that your organization should be considered as rapidly responsive organization for all the customers that come across in the world with this organization, which creates a great image of your organization for future. So let's understand, as far as the national culture is concerned, Geet Hofstede has given certain dimensions, and these are highly appreciated by all the experts in the HR world, one can say. The first is power distance. What we mean by that? In certain national cultures like Indian and Far East countries, we always believe that our superiors are highly talented people, highly experienced people, and they are powerful. They have got the legitimate power to tell us what to do. We are supposed to obey them and do as per their requirement. So we do appreciate this power distance between a subordinate and the superior, and it is accepted fully. While in certain countries like America and all, the subordinate calls the superior with his first name, and there is not much of power distance. They may not always obey everything whatever is being told. So power distance is something which is important in the organizational culture, which is based on the national culture. As in Japan also, there is quite a bit of power distance which is followed, although it is more of team. The second one is individualism versus collectivism. Now, what is individualism? Here, there is an importance given to the individual, and hence the performance appraisal, whenever it is done in such countries, for example America again, where what is the individual performance for that particular aspect that he is working for, that is more important than overall the team in which he is working. And hence he is appreciated and given high remuneration for that in the form of, say, incentive or the performance linked pay or even the promotion if they feel right. While in case of Japan, it is more of collectivism, where people appreciate if the whole team is given incentive rather than one individual or two individuals out of this team. So this is what is important in the national culture of different countries, and based on that the HR is supposed to formulate the policies for performance appraisal and other things. Then only people will appreciate that, and they will be having job satisfaction, and they will be more loyal to the company. Then comes masculinity, where people are more aggressive. They are highly assertive towards their work. While in case of femininity, they are more having sensitivity towards the other, more cooperative. Then comes uncertainty avoidance. In certain countries, the employees do not want to take any risk. They avoid all kind of risk. For example, Far East countries and India, we tend to avoid risk. While in case of US, again, they are ready to take risk. They are not bothered for the job to go also. Buggy jumping, this is a risky thing which they do on their weekends without bothering for their life also at times. So uncertainty avoidance is something where one should understand the importance of this in the national culture. And while negotiating in your business with such countries where uncertainty avoidance is high, for example India and Far East, one should not make the people work where there is lot of risk to be taken, because they are not going to agree to that. Stock market is also a risky business. In India, we are more concerned about this. We do not play in stock market that frequently. We may believe in more safety of our finances. We believe in more returns. So not necessarily only the returns, but the safety also. So that's why people going for LIC and bonds, etc., government bonds, etc., even though the returns may be less, but still people invest in that, say PPF, etc., because we don't want to take risk for our finances for future. While in case of US and other countries, some of them, they go in for equity more and more rather than such kind of debts. There is a long-term orientation versus short-term orientation. There are some companies where they are always thinking about long-term orientation of the company, where they are doing even manpower planning for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. They have got the vision for 10 years ahead, how they are going to prosper, what will be their way of working, what are the kinds of mergers and acquisitions they are going to do over 5 to 10 years, what are the diversification they want to do based on the present scenario and the future risk-taking behavior of these organizations, as well as what is the future scenario likely to be there based on the analysis of the present scenario and certain things which are coming up based on the diversity, based on the globalization, etc. And they have the strategies to be formed based on long-term orientation. While in certain companies, they have got highly short-term orientation, where they are bothered only for 6 months to a year, to 1 year, so that they are not bothered for after three years and 5 years what will happen. They want immediate returns, or they want to sustain for a short term. Indulgence versus restraint. That's another aspect of certain national cultures, where some people indulge in various things freely. They want to satisfy their basic needs at any cost at times. So they are more materialistic, while certain national cultures are such where we put lot of constraints over the behavior of people. Restraints are there. So they are more spiritual at times. Materialism is not to that extent. So this is how certain cultures are different overall in the world. And based on the type of culture, national culture, there is a strong influence of that in the organizational culture and individual behavior. And one should understand this based on the principles given by Hofstede. And about these dimensions, when one knows about this is the kind of nation, national culture, so whenever you are going to do business with the organizations in that particular nation, one has to keep this kind of cultural aspect in mind and accordingly negotiate with them for the business requirement. Otherwise, you may be a failure. And that's how you can take the employees' motivation and even the cultural coherence based on the national culture in these organizations. And that's how they can be committed to the organization goals if you are taking care of these kind of dimensions of Nestle culture. So with this we have understood what is organizational culture, what are the various aspects of organizational culture in the form of artifacts and espoused values and the symbols, rituals, etc. Certain things which are easily visible, while many of the things which are hidden, but they are going to affect the behavior of a person, of the employee. So we have learnt about the strong culture and the weak culture, certain benefits and disadvantages of strong culture, how to form a good culture in your organization, how to have the ethical culture in the organization, what are the aspects you will take into consideration so that your organization employees become more ethical and help the organization to sustain over a longer period of time without having any legal hassles and environmental problems, etc. We also learn the national culture and what Hofstede has given regarding the various aspects of that in the form of collectivism versus individuality, individualism and power distance and risk avoidance and the other aspects of that, which is going to have lot of impact on the organization culture, which one should know, appreciate and integrate into their business negotiations with other organizations anywhere in the world, and accordingly one has to think of whether mergers and acquisitions should be done and what are the adverse effects of matching the culture of the different organizations. If at all it is not, you are not able to match that, then it will be a failure. So not all the mergers and acquisitions are successful stories. One should understand that, and accordingly one should take into consideration the national culture as well as the organizational culture into view, and then only think about the long-term consequences, and accordingly one should go for the business strategies to be followed. Thank you.